Meanwhile, in the Morlock tunnels under Grey Malkin Prison, Lawrence Trask shows off his new Sentinels.
Hey everybody, it's me, Lawrence Trask. Here we are. And you know what? You know what's a good mutant? A dead mutant. Now, I know I'm a mutant, but who cares? I'm here to kill some mutants, am I right, people? And I also want to make some money. And that's why I have these new Sentinel hounds. That's right. We've went and found the best dogs around. And we are going to use them to hunt down mutants and kill them, kill them, kill them. And here's our first hound. Here he is.
Uh-oh, mutants.
That's right. Some people said, hey, Scooby-Doo, where are you? I'll tell you where you are. You're killing mutants. And here we go. We have another one. Here's the next hound.
Mutants.
That's right. Hanna-Barbera's own Huckleberry Hound. Oh, God. You think he's blue today? How blue is he going to feel if he doesn't kill any mutants today? And do you hear that? Here comes the last of our hounds. This one is the one I'm the most proud of. Here he is. Goofy. Yeah, wait, what? Is Goofy... Wait, let me check my note. Is Goofy, are you... Wait a minute. What about Pluto? Goofy, are you a dog?
No.
Oh, no. Goofy's not a dog. You can't take... Oh, no. He's crafting. Shit.
That's why I'm a cat person. Hit the music.
I pressed the wrong button. Sorry. I was pressing the background button, so we'll just cut to the music cutting in.
Whatever.
At that point.
Or not. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 331 of Comic Book Queers. I am your host, Brett, woof woof, and with me, as always, speaking of woof, is Evil Jeff. Hi, Evil.
Why, hello there.
Hi, how are you? I'm coming to you from a beautiful hotel in Rosemont, Illinois.
Yeah, so if you hear a little weirdness, it's just hotel internet.
It's hotel internet and hotel lack of any sort of cushioning for sound. Whatever. We'll make it work. How are you?
Yes. I'm doing good. You know, the world is crazy, and I'm trying to drown and distract myself in supernatural and science fiction and superheroes.
Yeah, same. I mean, the windows and the doors of openness are closed, and so, fine. I am used to being a shut-in who would just sit in the dark in his room and read comics, so that's what I'll do.
Yeah, the high school's coming back, baby. It's time to, we're about to get bullied.
Oh, it's high school all over again, baby. I can't wait to get bullied because you know what happens when I get bullied? I come.
Oh. Well, I will say I don't relate, but the fact that I pretty much love an enemies to lovers romance trope is all stems back to me being bullied.
It's really? Like, wait. Oh, yeah.
Wait, the bully loves you. He doesn't hate you. He's doing it because he loves you.
Ooh. I was just glad to be touched by another man when I was bullied.
I do remember once I was on spring break after senior year. We went on it was right after we graduated. It wasn't spring break. After we graduated high school, me and a bunch of friends, we all went to Ocean City, Maryland, to party, and everybody was getting drunk and rowdy, and they all kept wrestling. And then I remembered one guy wrestled me to the ground.
Yeah.
And then they were like, why aren't you fighting back? And I was like, oh, right. I'm just like laying there like, yeah, pummel me.
And why are you hard?
I know, right? Ugh.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't hard because we were drinking Zimas.
Zima.
You can't get hard on a Zima.
Did Zima ever have a comeback?
I don't think so. I don't even think do Zimas exist? Can you still buy a Zima?
I don't know. Why think about the past when we can think about the future? I have a few opinions about some comic booky things coming up. May I share them with you?
Yeah, please. Are you all like about to tell me something?
I was.
Okay. Well, then should I hit the music?
Yeah.
And he was all like, and she was all like, and then they were all like, and I was all like, what?
So the new, oh gosh, listen, you know who I would not like to be right now? I would not like to be James Gunn or anyone involved in the upcoming Superman Legacy, because every single thing is getting scrutinized to death.
What are they scrutinizing? I thought people kind of liked the last trailer.
So there was a new trailer that just dropped, and it's got a new shot, and it's the shot that we're looking at on our screen right now. It is that of Superman flying, and there is a moment. Well, you know what? Why don't we just watch it? Should we just watch it?
Yeah.
All right. Ready?
Yes.
Sorry, first time. Here we go.
James Gunn. A girl's exploding.
A girl's neck is broken.
Lex Luthor. I think this is the sexiest Lex Luthor.
Absolutely. Big kaiju. Alright, it's coming up.
Is it Krypto?
This is it. All right. How are you feeling right now?
I'm confused. That was just like, it was just a normal trailer.
Right.
I literally have no idea what people would be mad about.
So it is this shot
of him flying.
It is the one of him flying. People just started bitching out of, like, there are full YouTube videos, which of course have thousands of more views than ours does. YouTube videos just going off on how bad the flying shot looked in Superman.
What's bad about it? I don't understand.
That's mostly how I'm feeling. But just to entertain them, they're saying, A, it's making his face look weird. B, it's just an ugly shot. Like, it's just anytime somebody does this kind of first person with the head locked, you know, the camera moving around, the kind of stationary head, a very kind of GoPro YouTube-y kind of shot, it just doesn't look good. People are dissecting it even further, saying when he's shown from the back and he kind of like bumps into the mountain, that looks great. But when they turn the camera to show him facing the camera, it's quote unquote awful.
I think I know what this is about.
What is this about?
I think when you said that static headshot, that is a more, it's like a younger Gen Z thing. I think this is older people getting mad that this is being made for younger people.
Damn.
I think that's what most of the things are about. Star Wars, what's his name? Freddie Prinze Jr.? Right? Freddie Prinze is, who's Buffy's husband?
Freddie Prinze Jr., right? Yeah.
He was on a podcast years ago, and he basically was like, Star Wars is for kids, and people get mad because they watch a new thing, and they're like, well, is this made for kids? It's not for you anymore. This is for kids.
Remember like She-Ra, when the new She-Ra came out? People were so mad because she wasn't busty. And leggy?
Yeah. Well, they made her a fucking lesbian, as you know, take what you can. But I think that's the thing is this, sometimes you have to go being like, this is made for the new generation. It's not made for you. And I think sometimes we're lucky, like X-Men, the new X-Men cartoon, it was made for us.
It's kind of the opposite, right?
It was the opposite. And I think some people are like, James Gunn is going to make it for us. No, James Gunn wants to start over. Because you know what was made for us? That shitty Henry Cavill Superman movies.
Right. The dramatic,
dark. The dramatic and sad and dark. Like Batman. And James Gunn is like, I'm not going to do that anymore. And so I'm like, you know what? Just keep doing your thing, Mr. James Gunn. I did not notice anything. Like,
isn't
give me
that
a fucking break?
Like, isn't that what we can blame so much fandom toxicity on? Is aging fans? Is that what's happening with X-Men and us? No, X-Men is just bad now. Okay, we've said.
Well,
that.
But I'll tell you this: I was never bitching about the look of things.
Right.
I was just bitching like, just follow the plot of the comics because they're good. Stop trying to make up your own story that's bad. It was just bad.
Oh no, I meant the comics.
Oh, the comics right now? No, because the comics now I don't think are being
they're not being made for kids. Right.
The comics now are just, I think they're just lost. I think the problem is Hickman took such a huge swing and hit it out of the park, but he changed the entire world. He changed the entire world that it's really hard to reset it back. Like, you know what I mean? How do you reset it back without it? Because it's like nothing is going to be as good as what he did. So they're just, you're just kind of at a disadvantage.
Yeah, true. And that juxtaposition or comparison is also the enemy of fandom, because now you've got everyone comparing this. Anytime people complain about any of this new DC stuff, you're gonna see somebody post a Zack Snyder, Henry Cavill screenshot and be like, we were robbed. We've had so much taken away from us. And it's like, no, you didn't.
Well, in the end, you know what? And here I'm gonna make a bold choice here. If you're into the Zack Snyder universe of Superman stuff, you probably fucking voted for Trump.
Hey, oh my gosh.
So I don't give a fuck what.
So I don't give a fuck. Have to say. Fashion. I love the flying shot. I'm gonna love this Superman so much, mostly out of spite, but also because I probably will.
Yeah.
But also out of spite.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold off. But you know what? I like having a low expectation. I like walking in with a low expectation because you can only go up. I don't want to be too excited.
You can only go up, up, and away.
But I kind of like the Brandon Routh Superman. I saw that and was like, oh, that was fun. It has Parker Posey.
Oh, okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Comic Book Queers. It's been such a good run. Unfortunately, Evil
did
Jeff
you
and
hate,
I can
oh, did you hate
no
it?
Longer do a podcast
Did you
together.
Hate it?
I hated it so
you
much.
You hated it? See, I didn't think it was, like, the best Superman, but I just thought I was entertained. Now, the Henry Cavill ones, no. I felt that they were very, very boring.
All right.
Maybe it's just about, but then that's the thing. Would you, I guess it's strange because here's another thing that's, I think it's because it's who I want to have sex with.
Do you want to have sex with David Cornesett? Cornesett?
Is that who this guy is?
Who is this guy? Yes.
Yeah, but also, yeah. You know who doesn't really do it for me? Is Henry Cavill. And I know that's blasphemy. Yeah.
No,
but
I know.
He is, I get just it. Not, it's just not my. Yeah, it's not my. He needs a little more. He's a little too manly, almost in a weird
way.
Yeah,
it's almost like in a manufactured.
Yeah, where there's something where Ryan Gosling does it for me a little bit more. Or if I want manlier, then it needs to go full manly, like a Vin Diesel, or who's the guy in the who's the guy with the shaved head in the
Professional, Jean Reno.
Not the Professional, the other shaved head action star, bald action star.
Oh, Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
All day.
Yeah.
All day. When I first saw Jason Statham in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, like, I wanted to ask everyone to leave the room so I can have a moment.
Yeah. You're like, I need to stroke my two smoking barrels.
Right. I need to lock and stock my smoking barrel. Anyway, Superman, listen, James Gunn, Superman, for every person that complains about some shitty little detail they've seen on a trailer light years before the movie's ready to come out, we are going to praise it. I loved the flying scene.
But you know why people are doing this? Because sometimes it works, aka Sonic the Hedgehog.
Aka Storm in the comics, who was supposed to go back to like that doofy looking mohawk wearing a man's suit. So, I mean, that is good, though. It is good to put out, like, these kind of riskier moves, I guess, and, like, in a trailer and see what the reaction is and be like, okay, cut that.
Can you imagine, though, if you were the effects person and you worked on that shot for, like, a month?
I know.
And then they're like, oh, they're making YouTube videos about how bad
it is. About how bad it is.
I read comments on and every once in a while they're like, oh, my God, the editing is too much. And then I'm like, I just want to take a picture of myself with like a rope around my neck and sending it to them.
Being oh like, my
this
God.
Is because of you.
This is because of you, Damien. Okay. That is straight out of The Omen. All right, listen. I think we should go straight into our comics. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do it.
It's Mutants with Powers Omega for Hours. Bitch, let's read some X-Men.
Let's read some X-Men. We read some X-Men. We are going to X you up. Why are you sighing already?
I just... This week really hurt me. And then the comic that I liked a lot hurt me. And I know it's going to be fine, but it really fucked me up.
I think we'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah, but also...
Let's first talk about Mystique number 4. We're talking about Mystique number 4.
Okay, here's the thing.
Let's keep it positive. Keep it to
I'm going to start with the positives. Yeah. I'm going to start with the positives. I like the plotting of it. I like what the plot is. All right, I'm done. Okay.
Could you break down the plot for me? I'd like to conduct a little experiment. Just don't
cheat. God.
Don't look. Don't look at anything. Just look at me. Look at me. Look at me and tell me what the plot of this Mystique book is. Do it.
Okay.
All right, let me... One second.
Wait, let me talk.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so... basically, Destiny, yes. It looks like, stop it. S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming after Mystique, but also S.H.I.E.L.D., it seems, killed Destiny, but actually it seems that Destiny has not been killed and is being housed by S.H.I.E.L.D. Could she possibly be working with them? I don't know, but everything else I'm completely confused about. So there you go. Fine. I don't know anything.
What mission is Mystique on?
It's weird. I feel like now she's looking for Destiny. Now she's, right. This is the past issue, she was looking for Destiny. And she was going and just killing all of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in every hidden, what is it called? What's the word I'm thinking of? Not bunker.
Safe house.
Safe houses. Like killing everybody in the safe houses looking for her. What she was doing before... I don't know. What was she doing when she dressed as Magneto and went after the Grey Malkin stuff? I have no idea. What were you... Are you drinking moonshine? What the fuck? What is that?
I got room service. This is organic wine.
Oh, gross.
Oh, my God. It was the cheapest thing on the menu because I don't work for the company anymore, so now I have to, like, expense everything. And so I ordered cheap. It's this whole thing of moving to freelance. Anyway. I'm going to die from this wine.
Was that red? Was it red or white?
It's cab.
Cab.
It's a cab. I don't understand what this book is about. I can't, like, I am having trouble following this book. And I know we're supposed to keep it positive. I will say, like, the twist at the end that the Nick Fury we've been watching at some point is Mystique. That was cool. That's like
that's
the kind
what I'm
of
saying.
Thing you
the
want
plotting
out of a
of it,
book.
The plotting of it is cool. Like, because there are times where it's like, oh, there's Juggernaut. Wait, Juggernaut? Oh, right. It's Mystique. Like, it's cool. The idea that she's using, what's his nuts? What's the.
Fitzroy. Fabian Cortez. Why do I
Fabian
do
Cortez.
That?
They are, they do, they are. Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. But she's using him to make it so that when she turns into a mutant, she has access to their
powers. Right.
I will say this. Does she need, if she does not have Cortez and she turns into Angel,
would she fly?
Wouldn't she be able to fly anyway?
I don't know.
But I find all of that interesting.
Yeah.
But the problem is the reveal of it being him. From when? And so then I'm like, I don't really... And here's the thing. There is so much inner dialogue. I'm not reading all that. I'm not reading it.
Okay.
So I'm kind of skipping. I find myself like... I'm on a secret mission and I don't know what's happening and blah, blah, blah. And then Destiny, I have to search for... And you're like, oh. And then it goes to S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know. And then it was showing Maria Hill being like, being in the office is so hard. I'm like, what? And then I just, but yeah, it was just going in all these inner monologues But then was it her? I
do, like, I want to, I can't wait for the end of this book for a few reasons, but I can't wait for the end just so, like, I can have the full story. There's one thing that this book does that I can't tell, is it a good thing or a bad thing? And if I'm little Amber Dempsey from The Simpsons, I would go, good thing. But I'm not there yet. They jump around time. They say it's 4 o'clock and then it's 2 o'clock. And then this is what happens at 3:30. And then this is what happens at 6:30. But this is what happened at 6.
And then you're reading a million things. That could be fine if it was all action, but it's so much inner dialogue.
And also, and it's done in military time, which you think might make it easier to know if you're like earlier or later.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
Oh,
I have the same issue with books, like when they talk about the Sentinels or Iron Man armor. I'm like, I got to do Roman numerals. I can't. I don't want. It's a Mark White. I don't have time.
Speaking of that, I've been watching some foreign TV shows and movies, and a lot of other countries use military time on their clocks, like on their phones and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And that's so I would be so confused.
I know, but it just makes more sense. It's kind of like the metric system.
Of course it does. It's just like another reason why America's garbage.
But it confuses us. I hate us.
Yeah.
All right. Are we done with Mystic?
No, I remember there was, yes, but I was just saying there was one other time. There was something with military time in Porch, my husband, I'm going to call him out, where it was like at 1800 hours. And he's like, what's that? And I'm like, minus 12. And he was like, what is it? I was like, girl.
Then he should definitely not read Mystique, because, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Mystique, I'm just not feeling it yet.
All right, but let's talk about Phoenix number 7, Phoenix.
The stakes have never been lower. I'm just like...
Picture it. It's outer space. Jean is the Phoenix. The stakes have never been lower.
But seriously, it's like they keep setting up all of these things and I'm just yawning because none of it matters or means anything. They're like, but we have Thanos. And I'm like, only in the Phoenix book? It doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? It's like,
right. This it's is not a, like a broader. Yeah.
They're trying to do space. This could destroy the universe. But it's only happening in this book, so it's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just going.
So Jean puts it
so surface level. It's so surface level.
It really is. This is for kids. Jean is putting together a team of Nova, Rocket, Sif, and Captain Marvel to go after Thanos, get the Warlock's eye back from Thanos. So there's a MacGuffin. There's a Thanos.
Yeah, so Thanos has a Warlock's eye, which makes him basically the most powerful telepath, even more powerful than the Phoenix.
He mind controls the universe.
But somehow it doesn't affect them.
Like, here's my thing. Okay, let's talk about this.
Like, he's more powerful than me. Well, you're not affected. I don't know. I don't...
Wouldn't it be cooler if she battled him psychically?
Yeah.
Right? Like, instead of, I'm going to put a team together, we're going to punch him, and we're going to laser him, and we're going to gun him.
Yeah.
What if we had a story? Follow along. What if we had a story of Thanos becoming the ultimate psychic, and Phoenix has to fight that?
Because isn't she? Like, remember... Was it, I forget which type of X-Men, was it Astonishing? It was one of the Astonishing reboots where it was Rogue, Psylocke, Gambit, and they were battling like the Shadow King. Do you remember this?
Yeah, it was the one with Phantom X and Old Man Logan.
Yes,
yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, that was a good book.
And a lot of that, though, took place all on the astral plane. Yeah. And I just feel like even the other character, what's her name? Adani? Who's the sword, the Phoenix sword person?
Adani. Yeah.
Where she's like, she switched over to the other side real fast. So then I was like,
nothing's really like, it's just weird. Like Jean was like, you need to know before you hate me, you need to know who I am. And then all of a sudden we're like, it's Annie Richardson, whatever her name is. And it's becoming Dark Phoenix. And like, it's so one note, Gene.
And it's also, I don't know anything that's really going on with her. There's nothing right. with her. This is a woman who just got back the powers of the Phoenix, but also is able to use it and not turn evil. And she's just like, la, 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 la. Like, you know what I mean? She's away from her husband. And apparently they might be having problems, but we're not really talking about it. I don't know. It's just like, I feel like they're just concentrating on all the right things. They're talking about all the wrong things.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I screenshotted a panel that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, let's do it.
So here we are with Jean and Captain Marvel. And Jean says, you, Carol Danvers, are the best tactician I've ever met. And I'm like...
And then side cuts to Cyclops going, fuck my drag.
Fuck my drag, right? Pew, pew. Fuck my drag. You're literally married to the best tactician in the Marvel universe, right? Unless Carol's supposed to be better.
But not right now. But I guess after... You know what it is? But here's the thing. It could be interesting. She'd be like, what about Scott? And she's like, the best tactician wouldn't have gotten me killed on Hellfire.
I would have loved. I would have loved if we just called this out. Like if Carol was like, wait a minute, what about your husband? And Jean's like, I said what I said.
Right. But it just shows it's like this is being written and no one's, you don't really know these characters.
There's just a lot of opportunity. Like, look, I'm not one to be like, but this story that I wrote in my head is better. I just feel like there's a lot of missed opportunities if we're going to explore how interesting the concept of the Phoenix has become over the past several decades.
Here's what I'll say. And the reason I don't feel it's that, like, we have this special story in our head, and we're like the Supermans, we hate the flying image, and we want it to be exactly how we want it. No. Because have I said forever and ever and ever, stop introducing new characters. Gail Simone comes along and is like, bitch, here's new characters. But it is so well written, I go on for the ride, and I like it.
Let's talk about that.
I'm ready to go on the ride. But if you can't, it's just not written well.
I am this tall. I will ride this ride. But I don't know.
You got to write it well. Make us believe it.
You got to know who you're writing.
Yeah. Because if it's super entertaining and interesting, we're going to skip past the holes in the plot. Because it's entertaining and great. The other problem, this is another one. There's a lot of talking. And a lot of that talking is trying to explain the convoluted plot, which means you've already lost me.
We talked earlier about not throwing people's creative work under the bus. And like, we have to recognize this is subjective and this is not the story that you
we're
and I...
We're garbage people. We're garbage.
We're
two practical senior citizen white male faggots.
Who gives a fuck?
Who gives a shit what we have to say?
All right, let's talk about Uncanny X-Men.
This, I love this book. This fucking pissed me off.
Well, what
and
pissed
I
me
know
off?
You're gonna.
No,
oh,
well, I what I when you were like something pissed me off, I was like, I know it wasn't drawn by David Marquez. That was a tough pill to swallow because he's so good. But this is great.
Once again, we're like, don't throw people under the bus. But not having him draw does really affect.
You just fall in love with something, yeah.
Of reading,
and like, and then I would say like the depiction of Death Dream with this artist made me see the character differently. I was like, oh, this character isn't that cool, you know. But yeah. he is, and I think I just kind of touched upon the thing that upset you.
Yeah. So this Death is Dream. Uncanny X-Men. If we didn't say it out loud, latest issue of Uncanny X-Men. We saw briefly in this, was it in Sentinels that there's wolves?
Yeah. Sentinels.
Where then they're like, oh, here we have an intern coming in to demonstrate the wolves with bare hands. And then they're like, oh, he's killing them. I'm like, I thought you knew. Like, just why send him in with anything? Why did you send him in with any armor at all? So that annoyed me.
Did you want to show how they could surround somebody?
Yeah. But these wolves, they work in a pact.
They're dogs.
And also, they're dogs. They're based off of dogs. But also, they were shut down and they turned themselves back on so they could finish killing.
Yeah. Ooh.
And then they're like, give me 80 of them.
Pretty cool. Oh, also, this guy, so they're like, you know, your country used to be, or you used to be such a, and he's like, I won't spend a kroner. And I'm like, oh my God, is it Denmark or is it Norway that is in cahoots with the Sentinels?
It's probably Denmark, and this comic is being paid for by Trump to make an excuse for him to take over Greenland.
I love it. It's a good theory.
Anyway, these fucking hounds, they go, and here's what also, this fucking little, and I'm going to say it, cunt.
Oh.
I always forget her name. Who runs the fucking Grey Malkin?
Oh, Ellis. Oh, I hate her.
She's like, take your little, first of all, she was like, I'll leave you alone. Does she leave them alone? No. They come in and she's like, take your little people and then leave and I'll leave you alone. And now she's like, kill the children.
Kill the kids.
What a fucking evil bitch.
I hate her.
She's so
evil. I love that I hate her.
I want her to be killed. They need to kill her.
So wait, speaking of our delicious little outliers, a few things come out about them in this issue. Two things happened that I screamed. I screamed.
Like one. The lesbionics.
Lesbian. We have lesbionics.
Now, was it just lesbionics or was she just became a great dancing partner and was really into it?
I don't know. You tell me. Anytime they show feet like they did in those panels, I was like, horny.
But does it turn, when her power was off, did the lesbionics turn off?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. You know why? Because why? Later in the mall, Jitter says, hey, Becca, you can come with me.
Right. She's like, let's go into the dressing room.
Let's go into the dressing room.
And compare bra sizes.
I think my boobs feel weird. Will you tell me if they do or not? So that was fun. I thought, no, when they like linger on a quiet moment between two characters, I take that to mean there's a romance a-brewing.
Yeah, and it looks like each X-Man in the group is taking on one of the kids as their mentor.
Jubilee is going to take on Deathdream because he needs a little sparkle in his life. Wolverine's going to take on Ransom because they've continued to like butt heads and there's kind of a respect going on there. And then I forget who the others were.
They didn't really show which one. I don't know if
Gambit and Nightcrawler were kind of fixated on what Jitter and Calico were doing in the barn.
But I don't know which of
the answer was lesbionics.
Yeah.
But I don't know which. But the Jubilee and Deathdream relationship is like, it's a friendship I didn't know I needed. I kind of loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also loved that the reason they did this mentorship thing was because Rogue was like, you know what I'm thinking about? And Jubilee's like, the kids? And Rogue's like, yes, the kids. I wanted Jubilee to be like, well, not me. I don't think about kids at all.
Oh, poor Jubilee and her kid that's a dragon.
That whoever the writer was that stuck her with that kid, she must hate him.
But then she, where did Jubilee first show up in the X-Men? A mall.
A mall.
So, of course, she's like, let's go to the mall today. So she takes them to the mall. And then they're like, we can handle them. And she's like, should we come in with you? And they're like, oh, we can handle the mall.
Oh, wait. No, before that, Wolverine has his conversation with Ransom where Ransom's like, I'm not going to stay.
Oh, yeah. He's like,
I'm going to call my cousin.
And Wolverine's like, look, I'll fucking finger you if you stay. And he's like, okay.
And he's like, okay, let me call my cousin and tell him I'm staying. And I screamed. Why are you not reacting?
Yay. Wait,
did you not see who his cousin is?
No. Wait.
Look at the panel. Are you kidding? You didn't see what it said on his phone?
No, I didn't. Girl, I didn't look at that.
Wait a minute. I'm so excited for you to discover this.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'm getting to it. There's the lesbian part. What? His cousin is Sunspot?
Yes.
I totally missed that.
I screamed.
Oh, my God.
And then his cousin goes, don't take any crap, cousin. I want to know, like, does Sunspot know he's with Rogue and Logan?
He has to.
Roberto DaCosta knows. If it's like, does Roberto DaCosta know or not know? The answer is
But it
knows.
Also is weird that if he's being chased and looking for mutants to take him in, that why wasn't he there in the first, why didn't he go to him in the first place?
Yeah.
It's like you have a cousin that's super rich and a mutant.
Right.
And the best tactician in the world.
Well, we still don't know, like, and the best tactician in the Marvel Universe. We still don't know where those kids were coming from. Like, those kids just walked out of the woods. Like, we still don't know why they were together, right?
Yeah, and also, why is it that they're, one of them are going to destroy the world? That these avians have, like, sensed that they're the endlings.
Yeah.
How did they all get together that then when Spark... Because I'm also curious of, like, when they were all living their lives and no one said anything, it wasn't until they seemed to get together that they, then the endling formed. One thing that I know, we lost Krakoa, but do we have to lose the symbiosis?
Mutant circuitry?
Mutant circuitry.
No, absolutely not.
I'm curious of what if that's what the thing is.
What if it's the four of them?
If it's them all together, is what could cause the end of the world.
That'd be awesome. I mean, not awesome.
Well, you know what?
But it's so funny. You know, I did read some people who were complaining that Ransom was just like a ripoff of Sunspot. And haha, joke's on you. It's Sunspot's cousin. I'm obsessed.
Exactly.
Obsessed.
I will say, the drawing... The person drawing, and it's not even necessarily that, like, the drawing style is necessarily bad. But
no,
this
person, I think it's great.
This person did not get Dreamweaver at all.
It was just Death Dream that was, like, that was, like, off for me. But everything else was great.
He's not drawn, like, that, this character needs to be, he was kind of like.
The facial emotion. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's not the art style. It's like, obsessing over a pretzel, that's like, okay, that's a far cry.
Like, but that he could obsess over a pretzel, but it would be more like
power of a
you know what I mean? Not
even like, look at the cover, like, look at this cover. Look at what, like, look at Deathstream's face.
Yeah, it's still, they're all scared, and
he's stoic. Yeah, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Anyway, he gets fucking murdered by the hounds.
Oh, by the dogs.
The dogs fucking murder him and rip his organs out.
They ripped his organs out. Oh, that sucks that we're never going to see a character called Deathdream again.
And I know that he's in a state of being dead, but I don't know. But then it's like, are they going to bring him back later? Is he going to come back right away in the next issue?
My prediction is he's like, this is going to pick up right where it left off, and he is going to pop up and fuck up those little doggies.
But here's the thing. But he doesn't have healing powers. How is he? Or does he? Do you think all of his wounds and stuff are going to be healed?
Yeah,
or is he going to be like a permanent ghost, like Agatha?
No.
Is he going to be an Agatha all along?
No. He's going to, I'm sure his body will like reassemble. And he'll say something cute like, you shouldn't have done that.
And then the hounds are like, ruh-roh.
What a stupid thing that was.
All right, let's move on.
Let's move on. Are you interested in television shows?
I think maybe we should talk about what we're watching.
Okay.
What you watching? Does it mean naked? No? Oh, fine.
What are we watching? You and I talked about what we're going to talk about, but I'm sorry, I had to slip this one in. Can we talk about Joella's quilt look on Drag Race?
Girl, I edit fashion photo review, so I've been sitting on this for a while.
I can't wait.
So
I'm so
happy. I've known this outfit for a while. And I will say, I think this outfit is fucking hilarious. It just needed a reveal. It needed a reveal.
It needed a reveal. And it needs to reconsider, like, the facial relationship, like, maybe not 4 inches behind it. But it needed a reveal, yeah.
Yeah. Joella, though, I think Joella, I miss a good delusional queen. I think Joella, in the end, is going to have, I think she's going to have a Laganja resurgence of, like,
okay. Oh,
she's a little busted, but you know what? Her delusions gave us good, just like her screaming that she's in LA, I'm known for my looks. I'll tell you this. And I have some drag queen friends that are more local queens. And they were like, oh, I know who Joella is. I'm in LA and I've never.
But she's an icon.
I've never seen her before.
Oh.
So it's just very funny being like, I'm just known. I will say I recently saw her do. I was watching one of her old.
Yeah.
One of her old.
Was where she was dressed up like Thing One or Thing Two?
No. Oh. There's one where she was just like, actually, I'm not Joella. I'm Kim Jong Il. And she just ripped off and had Kim Jong Un drag underneath her dress.
Fuck yeah. That's awesome.
And it was kind of amazing.
That's pretty amazing.
But it was her time.
It was her time. That painting of RuPaul on the back was a guaranteed death warrant.
It's also just like what? And just none of it made sense. But kind of the just lip sync? Amazing.
Oh, amazing.
Oh yeah.
All right.
That is dirty doing buttons, but doing the Snoop Dogg rap version. Listened to that version.
Right.
I don't know all the words to that.
No, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of doing them dirty. All right, let's talk about TV shows we were watching. Let's talk about Harley Quinn, season 5, episode 2. The origin of Poison Ivy.
Yeah. This
was good.
I liked it. This is bad.
I liked it because she just straight up murdered the guy from her past. Like, it never ends
that
way.
Yeah, but the other plotting and pacing of it is really... There's an edge that's gone, and I think the problem is they're keeping the violence, but then it's like these kind of hokey sitcom tropes, and they did not do that in the earlier seasons. Like it was a lot more clever.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
it was a lot more clever, and this is like I want to get
guy from her past.
It's the, but not even that, but it was just like it's more the B plot of Harley Quinn being like, I want to get into this country club.
Oh,
I
was like, very Simpsons. Yeah. Like very, yes.
No. So for me, it's not.
That is so
I did
that
like
that
she just straight up murdered that person.
I
like
loved the Poison Ivy plot. I really did.
But the other thing that I didn't understand that also felt hollow for me is I was like, she would have murdered him day one. That would have been her first murder.
Well, I think she was dealing with a little PTSD, which is what I liked about it.
Yeah, so I just wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, but that is funny that you said that about the Harley Quinn B plot, because when King Shark dropped off the sharks, I did the word kind of like hackneyed.
Oh, yeah, like, oh, I have to babysit.
Entered my mind. Like, right.
They are known for like taking things and kind of flipping them on their head, and now I feel like it's almost
typically the things that they get into, the messes they get into, are of their own doing in one way, shape, or form, and this wasn't. This was just like, hey, neighbor.
Yeah, and I'm also just feeling like they're just setting up Lex Luthor's sister to be a villain.
I mean, no kidding. It's so the writing's on the wall.
Well, it feels very copied from Impossibles 2.
Oh.
With Evil Endeavor.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're like, oh, she's a bad guy. Oh, she's voiced by Catherine Keener. She's a bad she's gonna be a bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're not trying to hide it.
I don't know. This show's on thin ice with me.
Okay. Kite Man did some damage. Let's talk about Severance.
We spent the world with the innies
and
episode
now...
2. We're all in with the Audis.
Genius. Genius structure.
Me and Joe were fighting, though, over is Was it Helly or Helena?
So that's sort of the big, right? That's like the big overt mystery is like which version of Helly is.
He's like, I don't think she's that good of an actress inside. And once she was watching them kiss, I was like, it's 100% her. She went and rewatched everything to get trained. So I think it is her. And
why else would she be watching footage other than to train?
And they showed kind of, they showed everybody kind of leading up almost, except for her before their first day back.
Girl,
in a weird way.
I'll add this. That elevator didn't make a sound when she got in it. The elevator was silent. Yeah. Everyone else who went down and then became their innie, you heard bing. Actually, I think they're playing with specific tone bings and like they all mean.
And she didn't
know
she didn't have one.
She had nothing.
I didn't catch that, but that's adding to.
Yeah, it was like the very last shot. She goes in the elevator and it just, you hear it go down. You hear no bell.
Nobel Prize.
Nobel Peace Prize.
Here's the interesting thing. You predicted that Miss Cobell.
Oh, yeah.
Nobel Cobell.
Yeah, the Cobell Peace Prize.
Miss Cobell, you were saying that she was promoted. She was offered the promotion.
Girl, that was a demotion, girl.
But, well, yeah.
Yeah.
But they
but she said
it
we're
as
giving
a
you a promotion. Oh, yeah.
But it looked like she didn't even take it. So she's just leaving.
Who knows? Mrs. Cobell, what is. Can we talk about Mrs. Cobell? Does she or does she not have a genuine concern, dare I say, a love for Audi Mark?
I don't know because her character is batshit crazy. Like the way she's portrayed, which brilliantly, this is not saying she's like portrayed badly, but Patricia Arquette's character, she's just like, whoa, hello. She's like the drunk aunt and I have no idea what's going on in her head.
Right.
Because she's so weird. Like just how she talks is like a crazy person.
It's so, I do not understand the frequency she is on at all.
But the one thing I will say is when he confronted her in the car.
At the end.
And he's like, is this about my wife?
And she paused.
She paused. And like, she knew. She knew. And that's when she screamed like, I can't deal with this. That was kind of, I think that moment was the first real Mrs. Cobell we've seen.
That was a
when
lot
she is
of
at work, when she
out.
Is in the Audi world, she has a full-on character up. So I don't know who that was the first time we saw who she could really be.
Yes. Yes. A lot of this is like, who are the Audi? Like, so much of this is like, who are the Audis? You know, who are these people really? Specifically John Turturro, who is so fascinating to me in the outside world because he, so this Mr. Milkshake is going around firing the MDR team because of their shenanigans at the end of season one. And so when he fires John Turturro, Audi John Turturro is acting like any John Turturro, like in that he's being very docile, very company man, very polite, very respectful. But there's an intensity to this guy when he thinks nobody is looking, when he's painting, when he's riding around in his like fucking cool ass beanie cap and motorcycle jacket. Like, this dude is so cool and so intense and so fixated on investigating and this mission. But then when he's talking to Milchick, he's like, yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. Like, who is this guy on the outside?
Yeah. Is he out?
Is he out? Why is Christopher
Walken? Is he gay on the outside? Why is Christopher Walken following him? Because Christopher Walken is an outie. He doesn't even know who he is.
He shouldn't know who this guy is. And didn't he knock on his door at the end of season one, though? He was like, ah.
I thought he decided not to because he saw him with somebody.
Oh, I don't remember. I got to go back.
Because he saw him with him, and I thought he didn't knock on the door. That was a good reveal.
And who is he talking to on this payphone, John Turturro? Who's like, the innie got the message. What message? The paintings? Then we have the thing, like, thank fucking God, the end of last season, when Adam Scott yells, Adam Scott sees the picture of him and his Audi and his Audi's dead wife, and it's the therapist from The Office. And he yells, she's alive, and then is switched back to his Audi and doesn't remember that moment. I was like, please, for the love of God, I want the sister to not let this go. I want the sister to be like, that was weird. That was weird.
I'm worried that she's going to be killed because of
it. I know. I know. I'm so worried. But I want her on the case.
Yeah.
And she's on the case.
And I want her to, because there's one person I want to die in the show. It is her husband.
No. I have this feeling the husband's going to be so important. Okay, let's talk about the husband.
He's in on it. Oh, he's in on it?
I don't know. Rickon.
I hate him.
Rickon is the only one. I have a feeling he's going to wind up being like this, the hero of it all. Rickon is the only one.
No.
Why does Rickon say worky and not innie? Everyone else says innie. Rickon says worky.
I don't know.
What are up with Rickon's friends? What are they, like, children? Okay.
This show, I will say, I think I need to watch this episode again because it's so jam-packed and it's not spoon-feeding anything to you, which is because it's great. And I think I need to rewatch it again because I kind of, as we're talking about now, I forgot about the phone call that John Turturro's Audi made. And now I'm like, what? I feel like I need to, like, rewatch to get all of these connections. Because here's the other thing. It was not 5 months.
Oh, hell no.
And there was no newspaper. There was no commotion.
There was no ticker tape
there
parade.
There was no nothing. And we knew that.
And we knew that
because the fact that it wasn't 5 months, it was just kind of that weekend. Like, they had that weekend and then come back on Monday.
Yeah. And, like, Dylan. There's a few things I want to talk about Dylan. Number one, Dylan, he showed you a newspaper that was like, you guys did it, ticker tape parade, and it's Dylan, and Dylan never would have been in a parade on the outside. He didn't go outside. He wouldn't have been with them. And how does he not know that? Like, how does he not, like, I was never with them. Anyway, is this show about cloning? Because can you please look at this shot of him in the job interview and tell me the show is not about cloning? Because this show is about cloning, right?
Well,
they made that very
clear. That's what I realized. Remember where the guy, there's a room with all the goats. Goats are cloned, famously cloned.
Yeah.
The little girl that's probably the young version of his wife.
Thank you. Yes.
Is this
a Dylan?
Yeah.
Is this guy a Dylan? Is he like Dylan 4?
The other thing that's interesting to me is that what is the job that they do?
They move numbers into digital receptacles based on how those numbers make them feel.
Yeah. Now, did you notice they didn't give a shit if those three didn't show up? Just
Mark.
Just Mark. And when he then showed up, the others were like, oh, we've never been able to make quota, but he can. It's all him. The other three are just there to kind of like,
they're his support.
To give him some kind of feel that it's like he works in an office, but he is doing all the important work. But what the fuck is he? What is it?
Well, so a few things.
I wonder if it's like DNA sequencing, if it has to do with the cloning.
I think it does have to do with the cloning, but remember the picture of his wife's face flashed on the screen at the end of last episode? And it's all about emotion, right? The whole thing, the metric is how they are feeling when they see a certain set of numbers. So what they're doing is definitely based in emotion. Are they programming minds, deprogramming minds, reprogramming minds? Like, are they somehow performing like a mental function in whatever cloning process or whatever this is?
Well, that's the thing, is what I'm wondering is he doing an important job, or is all of those numbers doing a job on him because he's the job?
Or
he's the experiment.
Or is like his clone the experiment? Like, is there like a mark in a chair, like, you know, like just being hooked up to machines.
Yeah. The show's really good.
The show's good. It's a puzzle box.
Yes.
And we love box.
Go Ben Stiller. It's so weird because Ben Stiller, this is so like not his genre. And he's done weird things. Like, I think the Kate, was it not the Kate, was it the Cable Guy? No. The Cable Guy, right? With Jim Carrey? Cable Guy
was Jim Carrey. And
that was a Ben Stiller directed movie.
Yeah. Oh,
and
okay,
that
yeah,
got
yeah.
really weird.
Yeah.
So I could see he has that potential there. But this is like the idea that Ben Stiller would create the next like Lost, I did not see coming. And I like that.
But I'm not surprised at the same time.
No, I feel it's totally, he's in totally capable hands.
Do you remember Permanent Midnight?
Wait,
when Ben
that?
Stiller played the guy that wrote Alf.
It was that what that was about?
It was a story about it was a real guy. I forget his name. He was a writer in Hollywood. One of his, I think he wrote an episode of Twin Peaks too, or something. But he was known as like the writer of Alf, and he was a hardcore heroin addict. And so he wrote like an autobiography.
Wait, is he okay? I remembered. Yeah, this was a heroin movie. Is he writing Alf in the movie?
Yes, there's a scene where like he's writing like an alien show.
Oh. Okay. I was not aware of that. That's hilarious.
It's a great movie.
But
it was early Ben Stiller. Great movie. Oh, he didn't direct it.
But Ben Stiller, this is the only thing I like right now. And wait, there's something else good coming, right?
Oh.
Isn't there another good TV show coming? Oh, fuck. Oh, yes, White Lotus. White Lotus.
White Lotus.
White Lotus is coming in February.
You know what would make me, like, so happy?
What?
Is if you started watching My Hero Academia.
I did.
Oh, no. And I was going to say, and if you don't judge it until season two.
I know. You know what it is that's hard for me? It's a little too, there's a little bit too much the Japanime of it all.
Yeah.
And I watch anime, but I realize, oh, I watch adult anime. I yes. don't watch kids' anime, and kids' anime is so much, all right, well, here I go now. Da, 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 da. It's a little, I'm
but
like,
I will say this to you.
Get to it.
As the seasons go on, they grow up, and the tone changes, and the right. animation gets better. So, like, it starts to become like they're all fully fleshed out. Characters
because I've gone to the part where he's
like,
training to get the have the powers passed down to him other guy.
Season one, it's kind of tough getting through the Deku All Might stuff. Season one at the end all of a sudden gets good when they're on this like playful training exercise, and then all of a sudden all these portals open up and all of these villains, like bad mutants, pop like come out and try to kill the kids, and the kids are like, what is it like? And the kids have to survive. Then, like, the kids are changed after that, and it starts to.
All right,
get,
well, don't give
like,
it all away.
All right,
I'll try. Yeah. I'll try to watch it again.
Because you're going to have favorites. You're going to be like, wait, I love the frog girl. Oh, no, wait, now my favorite is Red Riot. Oh, no, wait, now my favorite is Bakugo. Like, you just really start to connect to these characters.
Just throw one out there. Because I'm not going to review this because it's not that good. But I am watching another Supernatural TBL.
It's not good.
But there's... It's a little too all over the place. But the plot of it is very... I'm just going to throw you the plot. Basically, a guy is in a car accident. And then he wakes up. And then he goes, I need to see my boyfriend. And all his friends go, you've never had a boyfriend. You're not gay. And he's like, I have to see my boyfriend. And he goes and runs. He pulls out the IV, runs to a guy. It's called The Boy from Another World. I think it's called The Boy Next World. He runs. He opens the door and just starts hugging this guy. And this guy's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm your boyfriend. And then he realizes, he's like, but but it was in a, I think I woke up in a parallel universe, because in my universe, you're my boyfriend. And so you're watching this and he knows everything about him. And so the guy finally at the end, he's like, you just know everything. I'm going to believe you and I'm going to help you find your original boyfriend. So you can go back to him, because it's bad for you to be with me, because you should be with the other world me. And then he's like, but it's still you. And as long as I'm with you, and then he's falling in love. And then at the end, he runs into someone and the someone goes, so are you going to just keep up with this lie the whole time? He's making it up. He's making it up. He's not from another universe.
He's great. Oh, no.
So then you're like, oh, I think he's a stalker.
Yeah.
No, but it threw me for a loop, because then I'm like, oh, are you evil? But then you're like, but then I'm like, how did that other guy know? But then he was like, I can read minds. And then I was like, what is happening? So yeah, I don't know if I recommend this yet, but it's pretty fucking crazy. But I do like the idea of it being all romantic and then it just taking a very dark turn. Oh, yeah. Did you ever see that Audrey Tautou, He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not?
No.
Is that her name from Amelie?
Yeah, Amelie, yeah.
Basically, you'll watch this movie for the first 40 minutes. It's about a girl in an abusive relationship. She is doing everything for a boyfriend, and he just never has time for her and ignores her. And then it shifts focus after 45 minutes. They are not together. And she is stalking him. And it's the most biggest flip where you're like, weird. Oh, no. So it's called He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not. So the first half of the movie is He Loves Me.
That's
and
so
the second half is He Loves Me
that's
Not.
That's so Sixth Sense. That's so reframed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really. I think I knew that. I think that was information I used to have. I had heard that. I was like,
that was a good movie. Cool. Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
We did it.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, thank you, everyone, for hanging in. Thank you for listening.
Stuff my face with food now because that's all I have now.
That's all we have as far
Speaking
as pleasure.
Speaking of, maybe I should. I made Japanese katsu and curry.
Oh, that sounds good.
Homemade. So maybe I should watch My Hero Academia.
Yeah, I'm saying get to that season two. Get to, don't judge this show until you get to the fight with the villain Stain.
Okay.
It is. That's when I was like, oh, I am in.
Okay. All right. And I have to do it because I've told many people where it's like, you need to watch Buffy, but you know, you got to make it through the first season.
No, it's true.
Or like,
it's true.
You need to watch Parks and Rec, but you need to get through the first season.
Yeah. Like at first, my niece and nephew and sister are obsessed with it. And I was like, okay, I'll watch it just so like we can talk about it and like whatever. And I was like, it's cute. And then like we got to like that end of season one I was talking about. And I was like, oh, I think I like this. And then that battle I was talking about and I was... just
now you're hooked.
Now I'm hooked.
All right. Well, you know what else will get you hooked? If you read comics, you'll get hooked on cock. Because I don't know if you know this, but if you read comics, well, then
that makes
you
creep.